This is Merlin Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We begin this morning with a visit to a couple of unusual college classrooms. In a spacious library, a political science class discusses why some political movements succeed while others don't. In another classroom, the subject is Latin American history. The professors are from Goucher College, but the classes aren't held on Goucher's bucolic Towson campus. They're conducted at prisons in Jessup as part of the Goucher Prison Education Partnership. Tom Hall sat in on the classes last spring.
Both of these forms of politics mobilize ordinary citizens.
Professor Rachel Templer is teaching a class called Understanding Politics. Her students listen intently and quietly jot down notes. 16 women sit in groups of three or four at several large tables that are bathed in sunlight on a crisp April afternoon.
It's within the small issues that they build the power and political recognition that they need to tackle larger issues.
That's Elizabeth.
My name is Elizabeth Starnes, and I'm 43 years old.
Until just a few years ago, Elizabeth had never taken a college course.
I wasn't so bad in elementary and middle school. I failed ninth grade of high school, and I did what I had to do to get by and really had no interest in attending college.
But as of this summer, she's earned 29 college credits.
When I took pre-calculus, I swore up and down that I would not take Calculus 1 because I would cry through the whole thing. And now I'm in Calculus 1. I got 103% on my midterm exam. And now I'm pushing for Calc 2, statistics, anything math.
Elizabeth was convicted of armed robbery and conspiracy to armed robbery. She told us she's scheduled to be released in 2026.
We have folks serving life sentences or multiple life sentences to those individuals serving 1 year and a day.
That's Margaret Chippendale. She's the warden at the Maryland Correctional Institution for Women. It houses 800 inmates.
The public would have to spend time inside of an institution, particularly an institution such as this, because if they sat down one-on-one with these ladies, they wouldn't know who was an offender and who was a citizen.
There are about 21,000 people in Maryland's prison system. That's how many people live in Cumberland. In the last 35 years, Maryland's prison population has nearly tripled. And Maryland is not alone. According to a Human Rights Watch report released last May, state prison populations have grown more than 240% in the last 29 years.
We're one of the leaders, if not the leader in the world, in terms of the percentage of our population that's incarcerated.
That's Sandy Unger. He was the president of Goucher College until he retired in June. Goucher began the Prison Education Partnership in 2012.
We believe that when we talk about underserved populations, disadvantaged people who are not having equal access to a higher education, one of the primary populations that is neglected is the prison population, the incarcerated population of women and men.
In the 1960s in U.S. prisons, there was a real investment in rehabilitation and also education.
Keramet Ryder is a criminology professor at the University of California, Irvine. She's taught in prisons in New York, California, and Massachusetts. She says the amount of money put into educating inmates has ebbed and flowed over the years. 20 years ago, there was a shift away from investment in prison education programs. That peaked with the passage of a law taking away Pell Grants from prisoners in 1994.
Prior to that, prisoners were eligible if they didn't have any money to their name, which most prisoners don't. They were eligible for financial support to do both correspondence and in-prison college programs. When that support was eliminated in the 90s, a lot of existing programs shut down.
But she says that trend is changing.
I think right now we're in a period of a kind of upswing of reinvestment, both socially and with nonprofits and also government investment in thinking about how education can be put back in prison.
Many prisons have GED programs, but college degree programs have sprung up in prisons as well, including those with a liberal arts focus like Goucher's. They're run by schools like Bard College and Cornell University in New York and Grinnell College in Iowa. Some in the corrections field think that job training and skills-based education is still the best bet for incarcerated people, and that training in a trade will increase their chances of finding employment when they're released from prison. So why offer a liberal arts curriculum to inmates?
they give students the tools they need to go out and finish a college education or apply to graduate school or get further education, as opposed to some of the programs that are more geared towards job skill training, which can be much more limited.
The courses that Goucher offers at Jessup are not a cakewalk.
We're offering statistics, where we may offer pre-calculus.
Amy Rosa is the Goucher Prison Education Partnership's director.
This education that Goucher offers empowers students, whether they're up in Towson or out in Jessup, to be fully engaged politically, socially, and professionally. It's the kind of dynamic education that allows you to really make the most in a changing economy and with changing technology over your lifetime.
A cohort of 70 students are enrolled. The syllabus, the coursework, and the expectations of students are the same in both Towson and Jessup. More than 350 inmates have written letters asking how to apply to the program. That's five times more than the program has room for. And just like the pool of applicants to Goucher in Towson, not all of the students who apply meet the program's qualifications.
We offer a suite of college preparatory classes for students who are not yet ready for rigorous college work. So we'll be offering basic academic writing and either pre-algebra, algebra 1, or algebra 2 in some combination.
Liat Melnick is the program administrator of the partnership.
We're looking for students who have the time. They're actually pretty busy in prison. They have full-time jobs, so people who have the time and the commitment to do this work.
There have been, throughout the 1970s, there were a number of guerrilla groups that were sort of operating on their own, so to speak.
Professor Jeannie Murphy teaches the course on Latin American history at the men's prison in Jessup. Her 10 students consult their textbooks, take notes, and enthusiastically engage in a conversation about politics and power. Their questions and observations are insightful. Their discussion is indistinguishable from the kind of dialogue that you'd expect to hear in any college classroom. Professor Murphy has taught at Goucher College for 7 years. Her first semester at Jessup was last spring.
I had my initial doubts and just thinking, you know, why are they going to care about Latin America? And I was so pleasantly surprised right from day one. I feel almost like a sense of joy that the students have when we're having class. One day in particular that I can remember that I came in through the library instead of there in the classroom where we usually meet up. There were some doors that were locked and I came in a different way. And so I walked in and some of them were already congregating in the library. And a few of them, when they saw me, turned and said, "Jeannie!" And I said, "You know what? I would love for my students at the main campus to react like that when I walk in the room. It just doesn't happen anymore."
Teachers in Goucher's program are paid as if they were teaching a course on the Towson campus. This fall, Professor Murphy volunteers as a tutor on Monday nights, and she hopes to be able to add a Spanish class to the curriculum soon. 96% of inmates in Maryland prisons are male. Most are black. The average age is about 37. Like Cedric Nettles, he's a big guy with a bald head and a huge smile. For Professor Murphy's Latin American history class, he wrote a report about the children of the men and women who were disappeared in Argentina in the 1970s and 80s.
How long was it before they started to look into what was going on in different countries, in the other countries?
Pretty much nothing is done until the people who are in power and allowing that to happen lose power.
Cedric was convicted of forgery and fraud. As of this spring, he'd been at Jessup for 3 years, and he says he likely has another 3.5 to go. He's been taking classes through Goucher since 2012.
I've taken pre-algebra, Chinese philosophy, understanding politics, English 103. I'm doing English 104 and Latin American history. The Chinese philosophy and the Latin American history, it's been a real good experience for me.
He showed his paper on the children of the disappeared in Argentina to producer Stephanie Hughes.
What made you choose this topic?
Because I have a fascination with things dealing with children. You know, I'm very sentimental when it comes to children because, you know, I've seen a lot, I've been through a lot as a child myself. So I get very emotional about things with children.
Cedric projects the quiet confidence of a man who knows he's moving forward.
I plan to start my own business once I go home. And if I can get involved with with Goucher College or any other college, and you know, get a little bit of business background, you know, or a business major or whatever, then that would also help me to, you know, to run my business successfully.
None of the funding for the Goucher Prison Education Partnership comes from the state or from the tuition that the students on the Towson campus pay. The inmates' tuition and books are paid for with funding from foundations and individuals who donate specifically to the program. There is evidence to suggest that it's a good investment. Once again, Keramet Ryder, the criminology professor at UC Irvine.
The data is pretty uniform that people who get an education in prison tend to have both lower recidivism rates and higher incomes and employment rates.
Though she cautions that it can be hard to find rigorous studies looking at prison education. After just a couple of years, the Goucher program doesn't yet have data on the outcomes for their students once they get out of prison. But anecdotally, they do well. The students at Jessup cannot yet receive a degree from Goucher College, but they do receive credit for the courses they pass, which appear on a Goucher College transcript. When students are released from prison, they'll be able to transfer their credits to other institutions where they can earn a degree. But for Elizabeth Starnes, who's taking the political science class, it's not just about the degree. It's a matter of engaging in the culture of college and the possibilities an education creates. It's a culture she wishes she had embraced earlier.
I think it would have opened up a completely different social, not just a social aspect for me, but a completely different way of thinking. Knowledge is definitely power, as long as the knowledge is in the right aspect.
The students at Jessup understand what it means to have doors closed on them. And now, they're learning what might happen when some of those doors begin to open.
Tom Haw, he visited Jessup with producers Matt Purdy and Stephanie Hughes last April. We've got pictures at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, an atypical story of escaping anti-Semitism in the Middle East.